stuck in a rut. No. My title tonight is going to be A Victorious Church.
All right.
Now, I just talked about the process of being victorious.
Right.
Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't believe what the devil has said to you. He is a liar. Don't let Satan keep you down. Serve God anyway. Amen. The summary of Sunday sermon. If you didn't, it was inspired by my ride mates, my sailor friends, and Joel. God protects us, helps us, leads us, does all that. But the Satan wants to pick on us and pick at us and try to deter us and throw us off. Well, don't let him, and you won't get thrown off. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, I want to talk about the church more so than the individual. But yes, it applies to individuals as well. Let me begin with Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, is my where I'll bring my text. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Satan is not going to win against the church. Amen. It's just not going to happen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking together in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would let your will, God, be accomplished here tonight. Help us, Lord, to realize, to understand, to know, Lord, that we are in a victorious church because this is your church. And Lord, you win. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I hope you're planning to go to Winter Fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've seen one hand go up. Two, three, well, four, five. All right, if I wait another second, I'll get six. There we go. Amen. Well, I encourage you to go. Amen. It's a spiritual uplifting time. If you will let God speak to you, He will. Amen. And the 18th, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, you know, this is now my 19th year of being pastor here at Apostolic Lighthouse. And in those 19 years, we've never had Communion and foot washing service on a Sunday. We've always done it on a Wednesday, or we used to do it on New Year's Eve. We used to, you know, we've done it on off nights. But it is an important part, amen, of both the body of Christ, us as a church body, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to pray for each other, and we're going to make a fresh commitment ourselves to God. Amen. So I am looking forward to it. It is going to be a very special day. Amen. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. Don't let the devil deter you. I'm trying to tell you ahead of time that Satan, the enemy, is going to try to put stuff in your way to keep you from the will of God. Don't let him have his way. Amen. A victorious church. I'm kind of continuing from my Sunday's message. Do you believe this verse? That the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? Do you really believe it? Amen. I believe it. I mean, I've read the back of the book, and I know that we win. Jesus Christ is going to be victorious. There's no doubt. It's not in question. It's not a variable. It's an absolute certainty. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. Now, here's a question. A little bit of a ring there, sound man. I don't know if you know how to fix that. But How much are you influenced by the media? And there is so much media. There's more media in our lives today than we really can stand. It's really unreasonable, the amount of media that is consumed by our society. It is very influential, even to the Christian. The American Worldview Inventory, AWVI, whatever that is, they conducted a survey, which was done at their Cultural Research Center, CRC. It's in Arizona, a Christian university. And it has revealed that the overwhelming majority, 88% of American adults, have an unidentifiable worldview, a patchwork of conflicting ideas. In terms of pure cohesive ideas and beliefs, only 6% have a biblical worldview in our society today. 6%. You know, people who believe the Bible is true, you know, that you really believe that the Bible is true. Amen. I know it's true. Now, hold on. I got a few more statistics here. I'm going to get into a whole bunch of Bible verses, but so 88% of Americans had an unidentifiable worldview. In terms of pure cohesive beliefs, only 6% believe that the Bible is true. Other clearly distinguishable worldviews identified in the survey are secular humanism, 2%. Postmodernism, I don't even really know what that is, 1%. Moralistic therapeutic deism, I've never heard of that before, 1%. And nihilism, 1%. I don't know what that is either. Well, how do you say it? Okay, whatever they say. 1%. Less than one half of 1% embrace a pure form of Marxism or Eastern mysticism or New Age worldview. Less than 1%. After interviewing a nationally representative sample of 2,000 adults, this Christian college, the CRC Center, concluded that Americans embrace points of view or actions that feel comfortable or seem most convenient. In other words, the findings are consistent with if it feels good, do it. People believe any way they want because it's what they like. Wow. The results of a Pew Research, you've probably heard of the Pew Research Study or Center, they concluded in October of 2019 showing that half of Christians believe casual sex is acceptable. Well, hold on. It's of those people that identify, quote unquote, if they just say, oh, I'm a Christian, well, they count as a Christian. Man, there's lots of people that don't live a Christian lifestyle, but yet, oh, I'm a Christian. And the vast majority have a non-biblical worldview. The Bible tells us that that's not okay. It is sin. Now, this grossly inconsistent, the findings, 65% of American adults described themselves as Christian, according to Pew. So in the United States, in American society, 65% say that they are Christian. Surveys are, you can make them say anything you want by asking the people that you like. So I don't trust surveys at all. But you and I, we must not allow surveys or news reports or the media to discourage us. Don't let it discourage you, even if it is from a so-called Christian source. Amen. There is no reason for gloom and doom. Read the back of the book. Amen. You know, I talk to, in our society, if they have just a simple Christian background, you know, if you talk to them about the events of the end times, oh, it's catastrophic. You know, it's really, really bad. I'm telling you, I get to go to heaven. I'm thinking it's pretty good. I kind of want to go there. I mean, I really want to go there. I kind of want to go there right away. Praise the Lord. There is no reason for doom and gloom. I tell you, my God has everything in control. Now, I am very much looking forward to our end time conference. I've already got a phone call from a person in Groton that, I mean, the ad just went up. He said, I've seen the advertisement on the end time, and I'm coming. I'd like to make a reservation right now. Well, come on, the door's open. It'll be open. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am not afraid of the end time. And you should not be either. Yes, our world is going to be in trouble. Yes, bad things are going to happen. Yes, there's going to be catastrophes. Yes, there's going to be chaos. Yes, there's going to be all of the above is going to happen. But my God is in control. And I belong to my God. The church will be victorious. It's not in question. It's not up for debate. It's not up to your opinion. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I've read it already. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The revelation of who Jesus is, by the way. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's Scripture. Amen. The church is destined for victory because Jesus is building this church. And not just this local assembly, but the body of Christ worldwide. Amen. He has ordained that His church is and will be powerful and victorious. Amen. It's ordained by God. This church was, you look at the book of Acts in the Bible. In fact, the New Testament. This church was born in power. Amen. Great things happen in the Bible. Great things are happening today in God's people. God is going to do more great things. Amen. Even greater things than these. I've seen a lot of really, really, really great things in my life. I've seen miracles and signs and wonders. But yet I still believe the good part's still coming. Amen. The best part hadn't arrived yet. Amen. I'm with anticipation looking forward to the things that God will yet do. Amen. You see, 7 days prior to the birth of the church, Jesus had told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem to receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You heard me say it before. It's talking about Uncasville. That's us. Amen. The church was born in power. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm telling you, we are preaching the very thing that they preached in the Bible. It's the same today as it was back then. We don't have to make up anything. It's all right there. Power in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been granted the authority by God. Amen. Jesus gave the church power over Satan. Don't let Satan lie to you. I mean, I don't think you can stop Satan from lying to you. He's going to lie to you. Don't believe him. Don't listen to him. Don't follow his advice. His advice is don't go to church. Go to church. His advice is don't give in the offering plate. Give in the offering plate. His advice is whatever. Stay home. Go to church. Be a witness. Live for God. Whatever Satan tells you to do, do the opposite. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I used that one on Wednesday as well, or Sunday as well. Earlier in the same chapter, Jesus commissioned the 70 disciples to heal the sick. I'm telling you, God has given power to the believers. It doesn't say to the pastors only. It doesn't say to the evangelist only. No, if you are a believer, get ready. You are going to pray for the sick and they're going to recover. Amen. You are going to pray for deliverance and there's going to be deliverance. Man, you are going to pray for miracles or a sign or a wonder and God is going to do it. Not because you are to be lifted up. No, it's because Jesus is God. You be careful to give all the glory to God. Everything belongs to Jesus. It's all because of Him. Be very careful of your own spirit, of your own attitude. Don't take any of that to you. Give it all to God. Whew. Praise the Lord. After going door knocking, they returned. They were amazed at the power of His name. Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. I tell you, God wants to work great things in the church. Are you a believer in the church? Are you a believer and you are in the church? Praise the Lord. Then you have power. I'm trying to highlight the power that you have as the body of Christ. Our God is greater than the enemy. Greater. There is no comparison. When the church is on the offensive, Satan's power is very limited. In ancient times, business was conducted in the gate of the city. You see, even though a city council may pass a law that may seem like it's against the church, I'll tell you what, the church is still going to prevail. Amen. Praise the Lord. It reminds me of that COVID time, and the mayor called me and said, you got to shut your church down. No, we will not. We will remain open. Just letting you know, we will not close. It's absolutely incredible. It's amazing how many just got in line and followed along like the Pied Piper, you know. I'll tell you what. I don't have to follow what everyone else follows. Let me follow what Jesus Christ said. Let me follow what the Bible said. I'm not interested in following the crowd. I want to follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. That means there's nobody and nothing else that has any power. Because he's got it all. Praise the Lord. We are victorious by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's not in our power. It's not in what we did. It's in His power. It's when what He did. Just as the blood is vital to life, you cannot live without blood flowing in your veins. Just as blood is vital to the human body, the blood of Jesus Christ is vital to the life of the church. Amen. Absolutely, critically important. There cannot be a church without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. I tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, is so very important. And us telling people about it, about what God did for you. How that God healed my back. How that God healed my headache. How that God healed my body. How that God brought me through. How that God, you name it. What did God do for you? Well, whatever it is, tell somebody about it. There's power in your testimony. Acts chapter 20. You see, the church is the only thing that God ever bought. I'm pausing right there because this is an important point. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed thereunto unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We have been bought with a price. The price of Jesus dying on the cross. That was the price. It was a very, very high price. No other human being on earth would qualify to be that sacrifice. Not one. No one except Jesus could possibly do what he did. Amen. You see, everything else in all of creation, all the people, all the things, and everything that you can see or is in existence, he created. Jesus' blood paid the penalty that was owed for sin, and it redeemed humanity from the curse of sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, Jesus Christ was the only precious blood that could have purchased us. Amen. You see, blood, it was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You can stand pure and holy before the sinless God because you have been washed by His blood. The only way you can get rid of sin is scripturally being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way that you can apply the blood of Jesus Christ. And applying the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way to account for the remission, the payment of sin. Wow. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, it says, "And He is the propitiation." You know, that's not a word that is real commonly used in our current society. "And He is the propitiation of our sins, and not of ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Excuse me. The propitiation in the New International Version, it says, "He is the atoning sacrifice." How about that? It's a little closer to English. I guess they're both English, but atoning sacrifice. People can understand that a little easier. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? You see, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I tell you, our walk with God, our baptism, our commitment, our being in the church and living for the Lord changes everything. Everything is made new. It's different because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because He has purchased me with His own blood. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away." I don't do those things anymore that I used to do. There is zero temptation for me to go off and, you know, buy a bottle of whiskey or, you know, I'm not doing that no more. That's impossible. There's nothing that anyone could do to make me do that. Nothing. It doesn't even cross my mind. It's repulsive to me to think. The think of going back. Just absolutely unacceptable. Cannot even be considered. His blood removes the guilt, the shame of sin that has plagued all humanity. You know, you may think, and often, even today, people come, "Well, Pastor, you don't, I've got a lot of things that I've done wrong." Nothing you have done wrong is beyond what Jesus has already paid for. The price that He paid was so spectacularly, that's a hard word to say, magnificent, that it's beyond anything that you could have ever done that was wrong. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that price that He paid bought even you. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter who you think you were. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. God wants to change you to be like Him. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ is there power over Satan. It's not in my notes, but the statistic for Alcoholics Anonymous is absolutely incredibly dismal. It was like 96% or 97% of people go back to drinking. And that's the most successful rehabilitation program in the history of our society. Isn't that something? That's horrible. You know what, though? 100% of everybody that is truly living for God changes their life. Every one of them. Every one of them. Amen. Nothing can separate you from the love of God or defeat you as long as you stay in Jesus Christ. The only person that can pull you out of the church is you. You are the only one. If you backslide and get lost and go living like a dummy in the world, that's your fault. Don't you blame that on somebody else. You are choosing that life. You can choose to live for God. It's your choice. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 down to 39. It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can pull you out of the hand of God. Not the demons in hell. Nothing. Nothing on earth. Nothing can pull you out of the hand of God. You can be successful in living for God. It is absolutely certain the church will be victorious. Stay in the church. Stay in the body. Don't backslide. That's your choice. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe it. Man, we ought to just come against that liar, Satan. We ought to just go ahead and have revival. Just go ahead and have good church. Amen. You know, we are victorious by the word of our testimony. We read that scripture already. The second part of our overcoming is by that word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." You see, there is people in our church that have such a powerful, powerful testimony. Amen. People that you know, that I know, right here, sitting before me in this sanctuary, there are people here with a powerful testimony. No one can dispute the effect the gospel has had on you in changing your life. They can't argue with me on what God did for me. I know what God did for me. I know what God's done for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. No one can argue with that. You've got a powerful testimony. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to read this one in two versions. King James Version first. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, I really like the King James Version, and that portion of Scripture really means a lot to me. But when I looked at it in the New International Version, I thought it was pretty cool also. It was pretty worded nicely. New International Version says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why are you so happy? I hope you'll tell them. Why are you always smiling? I hope you'll tell them. I hope you'll give them your testimony. But do this with gentleness and respect. Don't hit them with an axe and use 238s. Come on. Some of you will get it after a while. Isn't it okay for me to have fun? Come on. Can we have fun too? The telling of a personal testimony can greatly affect the hearer. And remembering what God has done also strengthens us. Amen. It does. It gives me strength to tell people what God has done for me. Amen. It lifts me up when I tell of the good things that God's done in my life. How good God is to me. What a wonderful God I serve. That helps me. And it'll help who I'm talking to. Amen. You see, the word of testimony, it's not always spoken. Sometimes we testify without words. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. If you don't cuss anymore, you don't talk that way anymore, you don't go to those old places anymore, you don't do those... You know what? Your testimony is also in your actions. And let's be truthful in this. So many times, actually, our actions speak even louder than our words. You know? The New International Version. No, I'm sorry. New Living Translation. Version of that very same verse, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, it says, your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Amen. When your life changes, everybody that knows you is going to notice it. They're going to notice it, that you're different. You do things not the same. What happened to you? I hope you'll tell them. Tell them your testimony. God just swung the door wide open. Step right up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4 and 5. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Excuse me. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. I tell you what you do matters. Amen. It really does. It matters to God what you do. Amen. Speaking of lifestyle, the Old English conveys the idea of speaking through our lives. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In James chapter 3, verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, but he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You see, a modern rendering of the word translated conversation, it was used in each of those portions of Scripture that I just read. In the King James Version, it means lifestyle. Conversation is not just what you say, but it's your lifestyle. People are going to see your lifestyle. Amen. The word lifestyle could be replaced in each of these portions of Scripture with that meaning, lifestyle. Conclusion. We've got the body of Christ, the church, is destined for victory. The survival and triumph of the church is indisputable. It's not up for discussion. Jesus Christ will win. He wins. He will be victorious. The church is going to be victorious. The question is, are we going to stay in the church? If you want to be victorious, stay in the church. Stay in the will of God. Serve the Lord with all your heart. You see, there are promises to the overcomers. I'm going to use the churches in the book of Revelation as our closing, the wrap-up. There's quite a few verses here I'm going to read, though. In Ephesus, referring to Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7, says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Whew. Sign me up. I want that. Smyrna, another church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, just a couple of verses later. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You know all that terrible stuff that you hear? You know, I ain't worried about none of that. I'm not worried about that. Because I've been purchased with a price. Amen. Pergamum, another church, Revelation. A few more verses down, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are you in the church? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that the church is going to be victorious? Amen. All right, if you're in the church, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I tell you what, Jesus put his name on me. Tom Greeley, Jesus. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thyatira, chapter 2, verse 26 in Revelation, is talking to Thyatira. And he that overcometh and keepeth his works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Okay. I'm not really interested in power over the nations. I just want to see Jesus. I just want to be with God. Just pull me up right into the throne room and I'll be happy. Whew. Sardius, Revelation chapter 3, the next chapter, verse number 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Amen. Now that I'm interested in. Woo, yeah. Praise the Lord. Let my name be written in the book of life. Amen. I'm talking about living forever. I'm talking about glory. I'm talking about eternity. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't think our human minds can even comprehend. I don't really understand what eternity is. But I know I want to spend it with Jesus. Amen. And the alternative is unacceptable. Amen. Philadelphia, another church in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Oh. If you ever really try to comprehend what that city is going to be like, oh, my wildest imagination. As much as I try to stretch my comprehension, my mind can't even conceive of the glory of what that city is going to be like. But I am in awe and in wonder and in anticipation that that is where the church will reside. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with him in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Just let me be in the throne room of the Almighty God, of Jesus. Amen. I want to be there. That was the churches. God's got a promise. This, the body of Christ, the church that believes in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and He's my God, and there is no other God. Amen. That church will be victorious. It's not up for debate. It's not in question. It is absolute a certainty from God. We win. Would you stand with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray that God would use us in His body. Lord, I love You. I thank You. I know, God, that the church is victorious, that this is a victorious church, that, Lord, that what You have established will not be defeated, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I pray, Lord, that you would use us in your body, that we as a part of that church, Lord, that our victories, Lord, would be granted unto you, that you would receive all of the glory, all of the praise, all of the thanks, Lord, is unto you. Thank you, Lord, for the promise. Thank you, Lord, that this church is victorious. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, my God. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. I praise you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my God. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.